Well, aren't these just atrocious readings? I mean, they're really, really horrible. Jesus, what are you doing? You're splitting families and bringing a sword. And all this about not being worthy if you love your spouse or your child more. Worthy? Really? Not only does Jesus seem to have gotten a bit full of himself, but he's also forgotten some of his very own commandments. But then he tells us not to be afraid. No sparrow dies unless God wills it, and people are worth more than many sparrows. So apparently I should just relax and get busy splitting up my family. Definitely not afraid now. And Abraham, aren't you a gem? Sending away Hagar, Sarah's slave, and your son Ishmael because your wife is jealous. That same wife who, by the way, who told you to have a child with Hagar. Then, after divine intervention and the birth of Isaac, you are ready to toss Hagar and Ishmael aside. I also feel the need to interject something here, because I have always had an image in my head of Ishmael being around the same age as Isaac. And historically, art has not helped with this. But based on the timeline and the chronology that we get, Isaac was born about 14 years after Ishmael. And since we hear that Isaac had just been weaned, which usually happens around 3, Ishmael was at least 17. 17! They may have been a highly dysfunctional household, but I'm sorry, discarding someone after that long is just cruel. And so the great patriarch and matriarch send Hagar and Ishmael into the wilderness with a container of water and some bread. That's it. It's hardly going to sustain them in a desert. Abraham and Sarah know exactly what they're doing. Now, this is a good spot to point out that the Bible is not a cohesive book. It is a library. It is a collection of writings where humanity tries to work out its relationship with God. It's not just some sort of direct quote coming down from on high. So naturally, it's going to be flawed sometimes. Going to have human errors in it. I've read plenty of resources that try to smooth these passages over, but I remain skeptical. I still think they are terrible readings. And yet, God hears Hagar and Ishmael crying in the wilderness. God opens Hagar's eyes to a well of water. God promises to make of Ishmael a great nation. Even here, in a story where the human beings get things so badly wrong, God shows up for the ones that are left behind. Now, I think these texts are quite surprising. They show us, or at least they depict for me, a God and a Jesus that don't always feel like the one that I know. And honestly, if Jesus stood in front of me right now and asked me to pick him over my spouse or my daughter, I'm sorry, Jesus, I can't. And I don't think that makes me faithless. I just think it makes me human. Diana Butler Bass describes something that she calls a hermeneutic of surprise. She describes it as the practice of approaching a difficult passage by asking, what surprises me the most here? And when she sat down with the gospel that we had for today, what jumped off the page for her wasn't the division, it wasn't the swords, it was the refrain that was threaded through the whole passage. So have no fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Three times. A text that she once heard as weaponized turned out in her closer reading to be a text of consolation. And Butler Bass takes that very seriously. She reads this passage as being about a fundamental conflict, but it's not one between you and your family. Rather, it's between the way of God and the way of the world. To her, this passage says, there can be no peace with oppression. That's what she says the sword is. Not a blade, but instead it is a light that shows us what we'd rather leave in the dark. So yes, Jesus is asking us something costly here. Because choosing God above every loyalty that has organized our lives is genuinely, genuinely hard. And Jesus doesn't pretend otherwise. But he also says three times, don't be afraid. God is not mocking us when Jesus says that. God knows how frightening life is. God knows about the sparrows falling. God has always known. Now, humans get God wrong, I think, a lot. But sometimes they also get God right. Saint Teresa of Avila got it right when she wrote this. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. The God we know to be true is a God who hears people crying in the wilderness, a God who counts hairs on our heads, a God who loves us too much to leave us comfortable in our smallness, and too much to abandon us to our fear. And that God, despite what some of these texts seem to suggest, is not our enemy. May we be surprised by that.